Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Regulars, thank you for joining us every week. And new listeners, thanks for joining us. And a lot of racing stuff going on, even though technically the R divisions are all finished for the season, but there's a lot of racing going on around. Speaking of that, this weekend coming up, the 21st and 22nd, which is Friday and Saturday at LVMS, they have the Fall Classic, the Senators Cup Fall Classic this year with a pretty big purse. So you're not going to want to miss that. You can go to LVMS.com and check out the schedule for that. But that's some racing coming up this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. A lot of racing going on. Not points races for any of our NASCAR stuff, but a lot of cool stuff happening. So I want to make sure you check that out. But hosting tonight, the one, the only, JJ Nunn.
Good evening, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
You know, pretty good. The weather's been nice. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's been, I guess, above our normal temperatures for this time of year. So
for October, I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
I'll take it.
You know, usually like Halloween comes out, it's cold and windy. So we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks-ish. So.
Oh, no, the clowns are out there scaring the cold away.
Oh, man, you had to bring up the clowns.
Yeah, there's some crazy crap going on out there.
I know.
I don't know what's on that. The stores are pulling clown masks
and they're pushing,
off the shelf.
Pushing Ronald McDonald into hiding.
Yeah, really. It's unbelievable. Crazy. Bozo the Clown, he's done.
Don't even mention Bozo.
The clowns are done. No more clowns. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't be a clown for Halloween.
You can't even listen to the insane clown posse anymore either.
What is that crazy? Oh, first year, I wanted to be a clown.
Yeah, this right. Poor kids or teenagers.
Clowns running through the woods. Oh, really?
So what's
Jason
happen?
Is a top seller.
All right, that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, killer.
That's okay.
Jeez. Yeah, don't want to be a clown.
Oh man.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, what's the world coming to?
Exactly. How about we also have hosting the man always on a mission. His mission right now is texting. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
I'm
looking at dates.
Dates? Looking for a date?
Yes, I am.
Not that kind of date. Actually, what
AshleyMadison.com.
Yeah, you don't have to look very far. The world of the World Wide Web.
Yep. www.clown.com.
You can find clowns or. Yeah. Oh well. All right, we won't go there.
We're
looking at dates, but
yes, I am.
The reason is we're trying to lock in some dates for the third annual Racers Barbecue coming up here in February. So. Keep an eye out for that. Always a good time. Gary behind the barbecue pit.
Yes.
So.
Yep. 2017, February 26th, Daytona 500.
So we won't be having it on that date. So we're going to try to have it on a different date.
Maybe before that.
Or Gary can bring a big screen. We'll
a jumbotron.
Yeah, what do they have out there? You guys seen it at Bristol? Why don't we bring our own? TV
Colossus.
The Colossus. We'll have our own Colossus out there,
so you can see it from any direction.
Actually, that would be kind of cool if we did have a Bristol night and have a big TV screen out there.
You'd be able to see it from the airport.
we won't go colossal, but
yeah,
maybe a
Colossus.
A big
you
screen.
Could be at the
Colossus.
Airport where you watch planes park there, and you could see it if you're
if you're coming in on the plane.
Park.
You could probably watch.
You'd be able
yeah,
to
look
you'd
at
you'd
it.
You'd be able to
by.
Read the closed caption from Eastern and Pecos.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. So if you have a, if you're a TV sponsor, give us a call. Actually, if you do want to call in,
at $3.5 billion to hang one of those things, I don't think so.
What are you saying?
That's pocket change for you two.
We lucky we got $3.50 for an extension cord.
So if somebody sponsors a Colossus, we'll put that money to better use somewhere else. We won't put up a TV screen. Hey, if you do want to call in, of course, our new number, don't forget, 702-485-4699, 702-485-4699. You can call into that. We'll talk about your team and what's going on with your off-season, and which a lot of times isn't off-season for a lot of racers. It's actually work on race cars time for a lot of people, but
no off season in racing,
especially right now when you got when your shop is the garage or backyard or something like that. You know, now's the time to work on your stuff. It's not too cold.
Yep. Driveway before daylight saving
yeah.
times come in. I think that's November 5th.
Oh,
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
So to be getting
we set the clocks back.
It'd be getting dark
darker
at like
early.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is weird, like. It's kind of off subject, but I'm doing some work out at the premium outlet malls, and some roof work that I want to do on this restaurant is happening after hours. So I get with the one of the you know guys out there that runs the place. Said, hey, we want to set up something to work after hours at night. You know, while the business is closed, you know, the food court and all that. You got a lot of activity going on. He's like, all right, that's fine, but you can't work after dark. I was like. Okay, what do you mean after dark? Do you mean like after 10 o'clock, midnight? What? No, when the sun goes down. I was like, what? So what if it goes down? I mean, are you, yeah, I thought he was joking with me. I was like, so what does that really mean? I mean, is it a specific time? No, when the sun goes down. I was like, oh, I've never heard anybody prevent us from working because of, you know, the
melee.
Sun going down.
They don't want you to fall off the roof.
I was like, well, how about with an escort? No, nope.
It's a safety concern.
We got lights. We have flashlights and drop lights and floodlights. Anyways, I just never had anybody tell me that before work-wise in all my time. Is you can't work after the sun goes down. Pretty weird. Anyways.
That's unusual.
Yeah, I thought it was a little unusual. So no working on race cars when the sun goes down. Okay, Gary?
I got lights.
You too, Jay.
There's no breaks in racing.
What are you going to do? Are you gonna, we've got a breakout race this weekend coming up. I thought I was going to make it, but I don't think I'm going to race. So I won't make it out there.
No. Not going to get the truck out?
No truck. No bomber.
No bomber?
Nope.
What about Mikey?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
After the run he had last race, he's going to park it?
Yep. Though it is a $500 purse to win. Did you know that?
Yes, it is.
$500 first. I think $400 for second, if I'm not mistaken. And I want to say.
You haven't touched the car? Haven't taken?
No.
Really?
No.
It's running? Turnkey?
Yeah.
Can I borrow it?
Well, you want to see what it's like to break out 21 seconds?
I want to see what it's like to break out at 20 seconds.
No, it's pretty close to ready to go. So, and I'm ending up having to work, but if something, you know, work wise, if it
don't
changes,
you don't you have Gary's trailer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's fine.
I do.
I'll be over.
Thanks,
put it on
Gary.
The trailer. Pick it up. That's all. Leave the keys on the dash or underneath the floor mat.
The car, well, you need keys for the race car.
The car's on the trailer. It's ready to go.
You
just
hook up. That's it. Okay. That's fine.
Add oil and go.
Big ball or little ball?
It's the medium ball. It's the in-between ball.
I got one of those. I'll get one of those. Yeah, where is it? On the street? On the side of the house?
No, it's behind the locked fence.
I have bow cutters.
It's in a safe place.
I have bow cutters. It will be after tonight.
Well, wait a minute. Your car's ready to go. Right, Gary?
Yeah, I just got to do a few things to my car.
Hey.
Just go through it.
JJ? A few things?
Not
ready
bolt
to go?
It. And it'll be
bolt?
Ready to go.
Yeah, that's all.
You going to try to make it?
Add gas. No, I'll be there.
Oh, cool.
I'll be there.
Really?
I'm going.
Wow.
I'm not scared.
Wow.
I'm not scared. I'll be there.
Wow.
Yep. Neither am I.
$500.
Somebody else is scared, but I'm scared.
$500.
20-second breakout race.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be at the fence again. I'm not scared.
I'll be there.
I think they should make next year all races breakout races for
yeah.
the bombers.
Yeah.
I think
cool.
so.
Let's go for it.
I think so.
Let's
make,
do it.
Make teching easy.
Yeah.
It'll kind of
take
up the field.
You can do anything
field.
You want to the car, but you do whatever.
Yeah,
tires.
Well, they could still keep the same rules.
Whatever.
I mean, like you said, I mean, realistically, you could do anything to it. Who cares? But even
yeah.
if you kept the same rules and say, here you go, you might lose probably five guys out
what?
There.
Maybe.
But
what?
You're probably going to gain.
What do you?
15.
Yeah, or 10 or something. You
what
know,
rules
after that
do you
year.
Need but just safety rules?
Right? No, realistically. I mean, you don't want it to become a free-for-all either, you know what I mean? But that's what the breakout is equalizing, you know, is you can do whatever you want almost, and you don't want somebody showing up with some weird stuff, some monster fucking AT whatever.
Who cares?
Tires and
who cares?
Bikes out of the side. And
who cares if he breaks out 20 seconds, he goes to the back, so.
Well, I know, but still got to have some kind of fluid.
You break out 20 seconds, but
I'm going out to buy a 19-second band, though.
No, that brings up a good point. So it could open it up if you have a super stock, because the rules for the breakout is different than the rules for the regular bomber rules. If you didn't know that, the wheelbase is shortened to 108-inch wheelbase for a breakout race. For the
which
bombers,
includes
which could include super stocks, Camaros, and anything
yeah.
like that, right?
Right.
Mustangs.
You just can't break out.
Yep.
That's all.
Novas.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, Novas. I think are 112-inch, anyways, but still.
110.
110. That's right. 110. 111 in Canada.
And it's built in Canada.
111 and a half.
Yeah, and a half. I remember something. There's some stuff out there in the past, but I don't know. That would be fun, I think. I like the old days of the bombers when they had the Cadillacs and the tuna boat type cars out there, you know? I
the
miss
Cadillacs,
those days.
The Continentals.
Yeah, the station wagons.
The Buicks, the
oh,
wagons.
Yeah. I miss seeing those days when they, you know, you still had a huge
big,
car count.
Big Detroit Iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the 70s.
And you're right. There still was a big car count,
yeah.
a bigger car count then than there
right.
is today.
I mean, of course, the rules were way more limited back then to more of a pure stock or a factory stock, whatever you want to call it, but 7-inch rims, you know, and different things like that. But I don't know. I miss seeing those some of those big old cars.
It's evolved.
They're almost like street stocks today. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, I like street stocks, but
limited street stocks.
Yeah. You get to a point where the actual what's left of a real bomber now is right now is like the wheelbase, you know, 112 inches, right?
112.
You're the last of what I can see. The last of a bomber that differentiates it from a street stock is the rule that still you have to keep part of the dash in. Once that's gone, it's a street stock.
Yeah.
Really, that's it. That the dash cover or which
street tires
and. And I
well,
think
well,
I,
no, street stocks did they run street tires?
And I may be wrong, but I think when they went to the weight rule, you can get rid of
the dash
brake.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a few cars out there. There's no dash.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
There's a lot of cars out there with no dash.
No dash.
Street stocks.
Limited street stocks.
Yeah, limited. What would be the difference in that in a street stock then? You're saying limited street stock.
About 5 seconds, 4 seconds.
So what's limiting it, I guess, from being four or five more seconds?
Hoosiers.
If you stayed on the DOT like street stocks do.
Well, motor. Rear gear.
Oh, wait, I think a few guys might be doing a few of those things already. So they are street stocks. No, I don't know.
Well, we ain't doing that, so I guess we're in the very limited.
Well, actually, the street stocks were running.
Street stock.
You know, because what are the super stocks run right now? 17 and a half still?
Oh.
17 yeah. twos, maybe 17 yeah. fives. And street stocks used to run 19s. So the bombers are right there already.
Yeah. Sam Jacks. What was it?
18-9? Change, yeah.
19-1, 19-2.
Consistent.
Right. And one of those last races, the top 12 cars were all in the 19.
Top 11 cars yeah. was 19-9s.
Crazy.
I wouldn't know.
At a second. And a half.
I wouldn't know.
So, and of course, if you're just joining us, talking about the Bombers breakout race out here at the Bullring, they got one coming up here this weekend on Saturday. The breakout race is a bomber stock type division that only allows 20 seconds and slower cars, because you go yep. faster than 20 seconds, you get penalized. Only the first place car, though, will get penalized and do a stop and go at the start finish line.
And maybe a change of pace will go back to the old way. Any car that breaks out.
Yeah. I like that.
Any car in any position at any time breaks out.
It runs
faster than 20 seconds. It's got to take a stop.
That's
and
what
go.
I was going to say when he said, let's make all the races next year a breakout race.
But make all cars.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll still keep what that'll do is to make it interesting, and you know, the officials will have to be on their toes, of course. But even when you – because that rule was in effect for a little while, and not a lot
the
of guys –
the first four or five of
were
the
they,
20 oh. – maybe not them. Maybe the first three or four breakout races was like
that. And there wasn't
that
many issues with that rule, you know. So I think it would be a good change of pace, maybe. And a lot of guys are probably shaking their head, being, oh, hell no. We build cars to go as fast as, you know, to go faster, not to – limit it with time or anything like that. But,
yeah, but this is also a stock class.
And
entry level.
And all divisions are limited to some degree. You yes. have, you know, super late models are limited because you got a spec engine rule. You have, you know, rules on certain tires and shocks because they're limiting that to try to keep that the races, you know, the cars racing closer together. So all divisions have a limit of some kind. So to say, you know, we don't want limits on our cars is not a good statement, because they're going to be limited no matter what for some one way or another.
Super stocks are limited to what they can
yeah,
run.
Exactly. So
either you know, motor, tire, fuel, whatever.
And the Bombers are too, except, like you said, it's an entry-level class, so you should be able to get some young blood in there, not just young meaning age, but, you know, you could be 50 years old and want to start racing a bomber and be able to jump in a bomber and be competitive at a competitive cost. You know, that's the whole idea, is to keep costs affordable to be able to get cars out there.
Cost is shot.
It has
that's
gone
out
up.
The window.
Yeah.
You could start 01. You could start with a $1,500, $2,000 car. That's evolved if you want to run up front.
Yeah.
Okay. It's gotten to the point where
I would think,
you know, my estimate at what, Gary, $5,000?
Sure. Easy.
Easy. If you want to be competitive.
In the top 10.
Yeah. If you want to be competitive. Okay. Yeah. If I remember
you
right,
go,
$1,500
go,
is
you
what
know,
the 15? Idea was back in the day.
Yeah. Back then.
Back
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it. You know, strip down and go. But today, it's if you want to be in the top five, you got to be looking at least $7,500 to $10,000, easy. If you're building the car from scratch,
Oh, yeah.
With a motor.
Yeah.
All there is to it. If you want to go up front. And if somebody, you know, questions that, give us a call. 702-485-4699. I don't think those are nonsensical numbers out there.
No, and
those are that's real cash money numbers.
You know, anytime somebody has a car for sale, you know, you're lucky to find something that's under $3,500 or $4,000. You know,
yeah.
You're lucky if you find something like that, and you don't know what you're getting either.
That's the going price.
Yeah, and that's double than what it probably should be.
Little more than double.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You pick up a used bomber for a grand, $1,500, okay, $600, $700. You know, you could pick up bombers for next to nothing. Now, today, it's, you're lucky you get one. You see one around $3,500.
Everybody's got gold out there right now.
Yep.
Well, you know, back in the day, the whole idea,
those numbers reflect turnkey.
Right.
You know,
if
it's not running well, you know, you can say, well, yeah, I did this time in this, and I did that time in it.
Right.
But if you don't come in and take it off the track, okay, you don't know what you get, okay?
Oh, yeah.
That's all there is to it. You know, you watch a car run season all along, and it's in the points, you can deem some money for it. You can deem $4,500 for it.
Yeah.
You know, if the car is sat, made two races, and, you know, it's not turnkey, not ready to go, you know, you're looking at anywhere from $500 to $1,000. Right then and there, it's like a roller.
Right.
If it's been wrecked a few times, any of that stuff is,
you know,
effects. Makes it different.
Yeah,
that's why we're like a limit, whether it's a 20-second breakout or even if they change out, whatever they make it, would be good because it would help limit some of that to where you keep drivers out there, you keep it affordable, and I think you'll see more.
In the 4 or 5, even let's just say 6 that may drop out, you're going to gain 8 or 10 or 12 other cars.
You'll see two more come in, two more, and you know, and it eventually, and I think you're going to get a lot more excitement input from the spectators, from the crowd. They're going to the fan standpoint is going to change also. And what's that going to do? It's going to get more people in the seats. Hey, I was out at the racetrack, and you know, first time I was out there, they had these jalopies, and man, they were, you know, 3 wide, and this, you know, I like to see some more of that. I think I thought about it. And I was like, man,
invert the field with points. You want to see that?
Oh, I love
entry
full
level.
Inversion. Love full inversion. Yep.
And entry level. Give those guys who haven't raced before that doesn't have experience
to get
that pole. Are sitting.
Yeah.
Start on the pole. Start outside pole.
Yep.
Okay. 5 to 8 laps in, they're going to drop back.
You know, back.
Okay. And then the fast cars are going to move forward. You're going to have 3 wide racing for a good 15, 17 laps.
Right.
Till the fast guys get to the front and they got to drive.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like an invert. Well, okay, I'm getting inverted back to 6th row and you got the top 6. Just take off.
Right.
And check out.
Oh, yeah. There's a few times back in my mini stock days where, because they used to do qualifying heats and mains, where, you know, you qualify crappy, you get in your heat and you finish crappy and they do a full inversion. There's, you know, a few times where I got pole because they didn't do it off of like only 8 or anything. It was a full inversion. So you do crappy in your heat and then you end up, you know,
it eliminates all sandbagging.
Yeah.
You have heat races and you eliminate all sandbagging with a full invert.
Yeah, I
you
do
know where you're going to start.
I mean, even though
if you're running for points, you're going to start in the back.
Yep. I'd still get lapped, but I got to start the pole and I got to stay in the race longer.
Okay.
So
it took a little longer for them to lap you. It gave you an extra 3 laps.
But it was
fun.
And you know, back then they didn't have like a bomber division. The mini stocks were the entry level division. So, but they had the similar rule package as the super stocks do today, which back then were called the hobby stocks, but yeah, shoot. I don't know. I like full inversion, definitely. I'd like to see that.
Baumgartner.
By points?
By points. By points.
Yep.
By points would be okay. Like you said, you take the first three races.
Okay. After three races, the points are lined out. And whoever has the highest points, start in the back. Whoever has the least amount of points, start up front. But you need three races in. Okay? If you only have one or two, you still got to start dead last, even behind. You got to start
in the
back.
And get that third race points.
So you get the third race points.
Right. Whether you start in the middle of the season or
you're going to have a group of guys running for points that's going to be legitimate. And then you're going to have guys that drop in and out.
Yeah.
Okay. They'll maybe run four races, but after the third race, come the fourth race, because they only ran three races and everybody else has run 10, they're going to start on the pole with their fourth race.
Right.
But they've taken themselves, they're there maybe for a win, but they're not racing for
points.
A championship.
Yeah.
Right.
For points. Okay. We had that happen in the past. You know?
And let's say, for instance, you do something like that and you lose six cars. Well, it's not like these six guys that, five or six, don't have anywhere to go. There's a super stock division that wouldn't have a time limit on it or anything like that. You could run in the super stock division, you know, cost a little more money. And hey, some of the faster guys right now, anyways, might want to consider that anyways, you know, and it helped that super stock division build.
Yeah, they're shy super stock.
Then you get five cars in there. Now you got, you know,
top
11,
10 every night.
Yeah, 11 cars or something like that.
That's it.
So,
you know,
I don't know. Hey, that should help keep the costs where they belong. You know, super stocks obviously are a step up. So you have a step up in cost. You go from a super stock to, you know, a late model or super late or whatever, it's step up in cost. So you spend a little more.
Yeah, but some of the guys spending the money in the bombers today could be spending it in a super stock.
Yeah, exactly.
Going with no limit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, run, you know.
Racing with no limits.
A super stock rule package and, you know, go have fun doing that. So, I don't know.
Speed costs money.
Yeah.
You want to go faster, move up.
You know, you get into a point where these bombers, I think guys are doing things that are not safe. And I'm not going to pinpoint anything in particular, but, you know, doing things with sheet metal or roll cages or gears or engine, you know, engines and things like that, you start getting these cars going faster than the builders are building them. You know, like, for instance, you know, you got a garage, you know, backyard mechanic building these roll cages or something, maybe you don't want them going faster than 20 seconds because now you start getting into safety, you know, issues. Obviously, they all have to be built to a certain standard, but they're not always built that way.
With the proper material?
Exactly. You know, I mean,
skinning them with something lighter?
Yeah.
Cutting out B and C pillars? And supports to the frame?
Could be that.
Just lighten the car?
Could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Could be even cutting out pieces of the actual stock frame.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, which doesn't, you know, help the integrity of them. And,
no.
You know, things
it
like
sure
that.
There's
a lot of different things that happen to lighten things up. And it shouldn't be happening in a bomber division. That stuff you see usually up, you know, super stocks on up, you know, where safety is more needed because the speeds are faster. So, and these bombers,
I don't know, the gutting is up to the guys who do it. You know, they want to jeopardize themselves. They want to put them out there as a safety risk. Okay. That's, you know, they're rolling the dice. That's basically,
well, and that's
basically
what
it comes down to.
And that's what I'm
if
saying.
If I want to, if somebody wants to go out, okay, and use swing set tubing for their car, that's, you know, I mean, really, you got to think about it, you know. I don't care if it's on the passenger side or not.
Or where, yeah. Who knows
you
where
know,
else.
Or kickers or, you know, up front. you know, the 095 rule is there for a reason.
No, and I agree. And that's just one example that people could do or not, you know, that jeopardizes the safety of the cars. And that's what I'm saying is, to what degree is somebody going to go to get faster? You know, there's got to be some way to limit some of that. I don't know. You know, and I'm just bringing up a point. I'm not 100% one way or another, but there's a reason why we got rules on the street. Yeah. You know, you got to follow some of those rules. If they're not followed, you find shortcuts and things like that. But,
well, when these bumpers are gutted and you just have the chrome part, okay, and they're gutting the steel in behind it, all right, and they're just hanging the bumper. It's just an example.
Right.
They're just hanging the chrome bumper. There's no safety barrier there.
Which to me is,
and then you have another car that has that steel inside that chrome bumper.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, you know, that's going to crush trunks.
Yeah. I mean,
that's going to collapse doors.
Well, exactly. And at minimum, there shouldn't be just chrome bumpers hanging. There should be a 095 inch and 3/4 support bar, whatever it is. So, I don't know.
You know, the whole bumper is not coming off the car. It's getting gutted. They're losing weight. Okay, fine. Well, just put, you know, blow a couple holes in the bumper and bolt it onto the two shafts.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're going forward. You hit somebody, your front end's caving into the radiator or to the fan, or your trunk's going to get crushed to the gas tank.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you get hit from these cars that don't have their bumpers gutted.
Right.
You know, you take a shot in the rear like that, and you don't have your gas tank all the way forward.
And that brings up a good point. That's the difference in, let's say, a super stock division where you can gut your car and do things to get them lighter. Is you look at these bombers, they're not as specific as to the mounting of your fuel cells and things
like
that.
Well, it's
got to
be center and far forward.
Well, yeah, but
as possible.
But that's pretty open compared to, let's say, you look at a super stock rule where the cars are faster, or even a super late model where they specify the type of bracing, everything, the height, the size, all that, where it needs to be. Where in a bomber, it could be centered and just sitting inside the trunk with two straps.
Well, the gas tanks, the modifieds and the super late, they're all cradled.
Exactly.
And encased.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can do that in a bomber, but who does that? I mean,
was an issue several years ago about cutting a hole in the floor pan or the trunk pan and dropping the gas tank down, and a cradle was built around it.
Right.
But no, it's got to be in the trunk.
Yeah.
I believe that they didn't allow you to drop it down.
Well, which was probably a good idea, because depending on how far they go with the rules, the main cage should be mounted to the frame. But if you're not going to mount it to the frame, they do allow it mounted to
plates
onto the body, which if you do that and then you mount, you know, a fuel cell to the frame or something, that's not part of that main structure, because there's going to be a lot of flex and all that. So they would have to kind of tighten those rules up if that's the way they were going to go. But anyways, I don't know. 20-second breakout rule or not, could go either way. I think every race.
Like we say.
Why do every other race?
Like we say, we're going to lose 5 or 6 drivers,
but
gain, you know.
Right. Or the alternative, like you brought up a good idea. You know, almost like a restrictor type racing is, you run instead of the Holley 500, the 4412, you run the 350, the 4500 or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever number that is. Yeah.
So that would help, because you can do whatever you want to the engine. I mean, and you're going to be limited by you know, air into that.
It's just bracket racing, that's all.
Yeah.
Just like the NHRA has. Dragsters. It's bracket racing. Here you go.
So, anyways, you want to check out more racing info or want to post stuff for sale, you can go to the bombernation.com website. Click on the message board and scroll around, check it out. You'll see different things going on there. Stuff for sale. You know, I noticed activity-wise, I think Facebook kind of taken away a little bit from, I say, the message board around everywhere, including like the BomberNation.com. I mean, it's still a good place to go, obviously, for selling things and looking parts up or putting the word out there to multiple different people if you don't have Facebook and stuff. But I notice more people kind of keep in contact on Facebook than they do really on a message board. But I still think it's a good place to go to do that, you know. Go post stuff. You pissed off at the racetrack?
Somebody just sold the car on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And got sold.
Sweet.
So,
any word on that?
Huh?
Anybody know anything?
Nope. I haven't heard anything.
No, it's back up for sale.
Is it really?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
He just posted it yesterday. It's back. I was just on it scouting around.
You know, so they can go check out thebombernation.com.
I just saw it yesterday. It was sold.
See?
Now it's unsold.
Day to day, you never know what's going to happen.
That's it. Sold, unsold.
So, Jay, you're going to go out to races this weekend?
Yes. I'm going to be there. I already said that.
To help Gary?
Gary, yeah.
Still looking for a ride?
I'm going to watch him go around again.
Ride for Rich.
I'm gonna watch him go around again this weekend. That's it. Stand at the fence.
You know, it'll be fun. You know, I like these low-pressure races. Just like when you're not in it for points. We've talked about that before. Almost is nice to intentionally miss a race or two or something like that. I guess if you depend on the point system, you have to miss two or three races. But to get out of the point system, so when you go out to race, you're just having fun. You know, you're not out there for the points battle because that becomes worse sometimes.
I ran four races this year. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Okay. Ran, what, 13 we had last year?
Yes.
A lot of work.
When we came back, I had a blast.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of work,
that's
though,
it.
When you're in it for the points.
I don't drink. I don't drug. I don't shoot darts. I don't bowl. I don't play softball, basketball, shoot pool. I race. That's, you know, just being out at the racetrack.
You race and complain.
Fun.
You race and your hobby is complaining. Not I'm just kidding.
Come on, Jay, don't complain.
He don't complain. You really don't. You actually don't complain a lot.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't complain. At all. At all. I just make statements of truth. I don't complain. I make statements of truth. That's it.
Yeah. I think that's how we all feel. Hey, you want to take a quick break and then we'll get back to more LVMS racing here this weekend after?
Yeah, you got something to talk about after we come back from the break. Give us a call, 702-485-4699. That's 702-485-4699. Catch you over the home.
I'm Thane Alderman, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
I'm Justin Johnson, driver of the number 17 super late model at the Bullring Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
TheBomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, TheBomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers too, so join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. This is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing, especially here at our local track, LVMS. I think LVMS is one of the finer facilities on the West Coast area out here at the Bullring. And I just want to thank Tim Richter and all his crew out there for doing the excellent job that they've done this year. Of course, their season's not over, but you know, I think overall it was a smooth race season this year and last year. So, you know, can't give him enough props for that. You know, you can't make everybody happy all the time, but I think he put in place some people in the right places. You know, Dan Fitzgerald, for one, you know, doing the race receiver stuff and
directing
on the track. You know, that's a big yeah. Plus, I think that helps keep.
They have some accurate scores up there.
Yep, scoring's been pretty decent for the most part. So the
lovely ladies down in the tech barn.
Always a pleasure to interact with them.
see the smiles on their faces.
Can't get paper from them all the time, but not all of us can.
I told you, you got to bring your own.
So
you got to bring your own 500 sheets. And that's how you get 13 copies for a year. You trade 500 sheets, one read for 13 copies.
Hey, it works.
Hey, if that's what it takes, okay.
Tight budget out there. Very tight budget.
Yes, it is.
You know, I remember back in the day, you know, racing's always been a budget anyway, but really the cost to get into the pits and all, they haven't really changed much over the years if you think about it. But, like, the payouts have changed quite a bit. Back in the day, I remember, you know, there'd be 20-something mini stocks show up, and I'd be 20-something, you know,
25,
for the night. And I'd
25
still,
bucks for a bomber.
And I'd still get my money back. Right. They pay on out to the very last. Yeah. You know, you basically get your entry back.
25 bucks for a bomber, I remember, when we started out there in 01.
You know, I wish they'd carry that through today. You get your, at least get your entry back.
25 bucks to get your car in there and another $300 in parts to fix it after you're done back then.
But back then you could go to the junkyard and find like five different, you know, styles of that car, you know. It's getting scarce nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and it's evolving towards like the newer bomber size cars.
The
Malibus
and the Chevelles and
the Ford Crown Vicks and things like that. So
yeah. The Caprices, the shorter Caprices.
Yeah, you should still find a lot of those.
Taxis.
Yeah.
Yep, Sunday drivers to church.
See, that's good if they have a breakout race.
Grocery getters.
For the
grocery
bombers,
getters,
you might see a bigger combination of cars, like different. Like, I think some rules allow like six-cylinder cars and all that because it wouldn't matter. You could run a six-cylinder.
If you don't break out in 20 seconds.
If you don't break out in 20 seconds, so. It might open up more vehicles.
Run a four-cylinder, too. Bring back the Pinto Bean.
That's right.
The Pinto Bean. When they went out there, started on the pole. But that was Justin Johnson, wasn't it?
No.
It was
Doug Davenport.
Doug Davenport.
Yep.
Little four-banger.
And that used
Pinto
to be
and started on the pole.
That
Charger
used to be
race.
A Charger. Yeah.
Well, he raced it as a Charger, but before that, when it was a fast mini, it was a Casey Kingsland.
Casey?
Correct. But I remember that. It raced with and beat a lot of the super stock.
Green to checkered.
The Charger stocks back then.
Green to, I was there for that race. Green to checkered.
That's funny.
Yep. That was one fast ass Pinto, man.
Half an engine. Yeah. Yeah, right.
with half of what everybody else has.
Right. Have to wait. Yeah. Actually, those
alcohol not treated.
Who knows? Now you get some good Esslinger parts. Yeah. Speaking of mini stocks, back in those days, Tim Richter used to race those. I used to remember him coming into town. Cause I used to think of him as a Havasu guy because that's who used to race in Havasu all the time. He had that.
His father ran the track down there.
Yep. Well, he had a really cool.
The whole family was a part of the track down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the whole family is part of the track here.
Hey, keep it in the family. He had that real nice Toyota number 18 mini stock, and he used to come down, kick our butts. I'm like, who is this guy? Who traveled? At the time, traveling just to me was guys that didn't work. They didn't have to work. I didn't think about, traveling to another state to race. When I first got into it, I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Guys traveling to different tracks and racing and stuff like that. And he used to come in, kick our butts and
take the money and leave.
I'm like, who is this?
Gary, me and Billy Gresser did that with demolition derby cars.
Right.
We used to go down to Havasu, kick their ass, and
they come back. and they're like, hey, who are these guys? Like,
exactly.
Bringing the money back.
Who is the Las Vegas boys? Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We did that a couple times, and then we paid for it up at Washington County Fair. When those boys from Phoenix showed up in Utah.
Demolition. You guys used to do demolition derbies and stuff. Anything happening with demolition? I mean, with you guys, any future in demolition racing? Any talk about it? Anything? Yes, no, maybe. Can't talk about it. Secret. What?
The gentleman's name is Dr. Duke. He works with a spine and brain institute out of Siena St. Rose. Okay. That was the last gentleman that I had work on my back.
Well, you don't have to be the driver. Dan Fitzgerald will gladly drive for you guys.
But I will tell you this. The second Danny nods his head yes, he don't even have to say yes, there will be a car being built for him.
You'll find one.
That's right.
Right.
Shit, I'll go buy one. Ready.
You'll be safe. They'll make sure it's safe for you, Dan.
We know Danny's itching. He's just itching to get back in. He was in one demo, took home a nice trophy.
And he was a God-fearing man.
Okay. Yes, he is.
And he can relieve some of the stress he's under today.
See, there you go.
He is a school teacher.
You got to release stress from that work and working at the racetrack.
A school teacher at work and a school teacher at the track. So, yes, he needs to relieve a lot of stress. And by doing that, he can demo one of our cars.
Yep.
Well, shouldn't it be build it and they'll come? Not, hey, nod your head yes, we'll build it for you. So that's it. It's all up to Danny Fitzgerald if you guys do any future demolition racing or not.
Danny holds the yes or no.
Oh, Dan, come on. I want to see these guys do some demo racing. So I'm putting it out there, the challenge.
By now, Danny has turned the radio down.
Yeah.
Off or off.
I don't need to listen to this anymore.
You'll get a private message on Facebook. The answer is still no.
That's right.
I think I've heard it from like 3 or 4 different people of his reaction to, will you ever get back in a demo car? And the answers are, I guess,
God protect children and idiots. That's it. That's pretty much what Danny will refer to when you say God fearing. Yeah.
What was that in 10? We had him.
09.
10-09. And I said it then. I'll say it now. He was one hell of a trooper for never doing a demolition derby. We had him doing some crazy stuff, and he was like, I got to do that.
Why do I do that?
Yeah, exactly. I said, hey, just watch Billy and JJ. Oh my God, I have to do that. Danny was a good trooper when we had him.
In 09, was that kind of his peak in while he's doing a lot of modified racing
yeah.
during that time still?
Yeah, he was scaling back some.
Right.
And he was running his modified mainly at Tonopah.
Oh, Tonopah, that's
and,
okay.
And Pahrump. And it was a Friday-Saturday show that we had down there, Harvest Fest. So we talked him into doubling up on the weekend. And it was Friday we set up with.
And that was in Pahrump?
We had set up,
yes,
yeah, set up yes. some dummy mini stock in the infield.
Okay.
And then me and Billy took turns hitting it, and Danny was still like, so you just want me to go out and hit it? It's so, not going to, no, it's not going to move. Just go hit it. You really want me to do that?
Isn't that kind of what they did out here, like the whatever demo football or something? They
oh, that was years ago,
yeah.
but no, this was different. Just trying to get the crowd to come back for the
Saturday
night.
We just did an exhibition on Friday.
Okay.
There you go.
That's all.
We did an
exhibition on Friday on a little mini stock.
Yeah, on a destroyed mini stock that wasn't coming back anyway. It was all stripped. I think a forklift had to take it out there and set it in the middle of the track. And like you said, they hit it a few times, and Danny was like, wow, I got to do this.
Well, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Demolition.
Pretty much.
He
wasn't used to it. You know, he'll tell you straight out, I'm not used to wrecking crap.
I'm used to
keeping my cars in one piece.
Right.
I look to keep my front bumper on the car, not try and take it off of another car.
Right.
And at the end of the race, it came to JJ and Danny.
Oh, wow.
And Danny thinks JJ let him win, but believe it or not, JJ's transmission was broken half.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because of Danny hitting JJ, the dry shaft moved and shattered the.
So it was not a gimme.
No, it was not a gimme.
No, it wasn't a gimme.
Matter of fact, you can look through one of the holes in the floorboard and see the gears inside of the transmission. It was literally broken half.
The shifter we converted
right.
from the column to
floor
shifters.
Should there be no holes in the floor pan?
Well, no,
I'm
the shifter
kidding.
Hole.
Yeah,
but
after
I'm
the shifter got broken,
there's a hole
through.
Okay. There's a hole to the floor pan.
That's
when
funny.
There's no handle there to grab to go back and forth. So what kind of car were you guys all in? I mean, what was Danny in?
I was.
Danny was in a
74 station wagon, Chevy station wagon.
Kind of like what you had.
No, it was that.
Oh, that. Oh,
it was
that before.
No, we fixed it.
Oh no, you had two trucks pull it.
Nope.
Pull it apart.
Nope. A frame machine.
I'm just joking.
I had.
That's funny.
We fixed
it.
We had. Built. I was running the 1969 Cadillac Fleetwood.
Yes.
No way.
This thing was friggin' huge.
Dang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It had the front seat. Okay. When I stripped it, the front seat behind the front seat, it had a cloth foot pedals.
Yes.
So the back seat.
Yeah, really.
You could. But I still got them in my garage.
That's funny.
It. You could put your feet up. When you were sitting in the back
kind of like
seat.
In a barber chair or something.
Yeah,
it
folded down from the front seat,
funny.
The back of the front seat. Oh, yeah, this was a nice car, man.
It's a Caddy. What do you expect, right?
Fleetwood. This thing was
Fleetwood,
friggin'
no doubt.
Huge.
That's
and
funny.
What was it, green?
Yeah.
It was big and green.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And this is like, what I guess, which I never knew before you guys, bolt-on.
Chain and bolt.
Chain and bolt.
No welding.
Belt.
The only welding we had was the T-bar, the one bar behind the seat going horizontal, and the other one
and
vertical.
Straight up.
And that's
Which kind of carried over into like the bombers in the 01. That was kind of their first rule for
cage.
Kind of like it.
Was,
chain and bolt.
No, what he's talking about is
the
roll
bombers,
cage.
T-bar. Yeah, when they first introduced the bombers, that was the minimum was a T-bar.
The sideway cross.
Yep.
Yep. That's what it was.
Anyways.
You know, the horizontal up and down behind seat and vertical. Yeah, it was. And one bar going down the driver's door at an angle. That was it.
Crazy.
That's it. Mounted to 2x2 plates.
Hey, I guess.
With 3/4-inch bolts.
I guess if a demolition cars can withstand with that type of roll cage, why couldn't a bomber? Back in those days, they could because the speeds were down.
Well, yeah, the speeds wasn't as what they are today.
Demolition derbies, there's only one rule.
Yeah.
And that's don't hit the driver's door.
Right.
That's something you can't guarantee with oval track racing. Car gets spun sideways and your driver's door is exposed to oncoming traffic.
Well,
you can't guarantee that the car
is
you're not going to get hit in the driver's door.
Well, that was kind of the idea back then too, was with wet the track and so on to keep the speeds down.
It was originally started as a rolling demo derby.
Yeah. And an enduro, because they were going to do like 100 lap races.
They did
two
100.
Yeah. Well,
they did two 100 lap races.
So,
yep.
I miss some
the
of those.
Bombers have evolved. You know the race I really miss is back in the day. We called it the Slurpee Cup Challenge.
Yeah.
You raced three races in one night.
Oh, really?
A 40, 25, and 15?
Yes.
I don't remember. Last one was 10. I don't remember
that. The challenge was, We filled the stands with that race.
The first one was, what was that one? 250 to win?
Yep.
The second one
was 500?
It was... Oh, I don't remember.
Wasn't it 250, 250, 250? If you won all three, it was an extra grand.
No. If you won all three races, you got a $500 bonus and made it a $1,500 night.
So how do they do the starts?
Inverted?
100% full inversion. How'd they do the first start?
Full invert.
Pill draw?
Pill draw.
Oh, pill draw, full inversion.
And then full inversion and full inversion for the third one.
Okay.
And if...
See, that to me is good.
10 laps. The last one, 10 laps. And you got the 25, 30 cars out there. It was go time.
And it was a full inversion as well.
Where
you finished in the first race, you from the back to the front. If you won, you started in the back. If you were second, you started. It was fully inverted. The second and third race.
The last 10 laps, it was three wide racing the entire friggin' race.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The guys that were in the back were already jumping the start.
Yeah.
Okay, making it three wide coming out of four. And you just had the cars coming up. It was just stacked up.
That's cool. I don't remember
when they were throwing that type of money out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back then.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Absolutely.
If you won two races, you got the first place trophy. But you may not get the Slurpee Challenge trophy. It was a different trophy.
Oh.
And they did it all by the lowest points.
Really?
So, yeah.
So if I'd have to think about it. But as if you win, you get 1 point. If you're second, whatever point you are, that's what you got for each race. The lowest points.
Oh, that's
gets
interesting.
That
so if you finish first, second, and third, you had 6 points.
Right.
And the lowest one, that's how they scored you. Okay. If you had first, and 15th, you got 17 points.
Right.
Right.
Okay. It was rewarded on consistency then. So you could finish third, and third, 9 points. Okay. And win the thing with three wins. Somebody else could win the first race, 1 point, and finish 15th. They have 16 points.
Wow.
Out.
That's pretty cool.
That was a Slurpee Challenge that you got that Slurpee trophy.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Three trophies for the winner for each segment, and then whoever had the lowest amount of points, whoever had the best finishes in three races
of the night,
won the Slurpee Challenge.
I can't believe we're out of time already,
yes,
man.
We are.
Hey, real quick, this weekend, 21st, 22nd, the Senators Cup Fall Classic at the Bullring at LVMS, $15,000 to win the super late model race. You're going to want to be there. They have practice on Thursdays. I believe it's still free to get in, but to go out to LVMS, check it out. Go to LVMS.com and click on the Bullring link. Want to see you out there at the track Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, they got features. They're running features on Friday night.
Yep.
You got the midget features, the Truck Series Pro 50 lap feature, and the Legends.
Cool. See you out there. And out of time. We'll see you next week, Tuesday. Subscribe at onworldnow.com. See you then. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.